Matt sees technical difficulties now. Even when the light says, hey, it's okay, it's good. So Timothy Jones tells us a story about his middle daughter, who is adopted. And the previous family that she was with never really quite integrated her into the family. When she misbehaved, things like a trip to Disney's World, they would take the rest of the family but leave her with friends. Eventually, after some rough years, their adoption, they dissolved it. So this is how Timothy and his wife came to adopt her. And it was some good times and some rough times through that, but he heard that story about her never getting to go to Disney World. She'd seen the pictures of Disney World. She'd heard the stories about it. She'd seen, heard about the rides and heard about the lines and the parades and everything and about the characters, but she'd never been through the gate of the most wonderful place on earth. So he decided when he had a speaking engagement in the southeastern part of America that he would go there and take his family to Disney World, including her. So there was a date that came up, so he booked his time at Disney World. Well, about a month before their trip over to the happiest place on earth in the Magical Kingdom, his daughter just started acting up. I mean, really acting up. A month before. So, you can hear sometimes people get excited, especially children get excited about going to Disney World, and, their emotions kind of get, insane. But hers she just started lying when she didn't need to lie. She'd start stealing stuff like food, when she could just ask for a snack. She started doing a lot of things that were hurtful to her sister. She would say things to them, just really going downhill. So a few days before they left, he pulled her aside and he set her up in his lap and needed to address the last thing she had done. In that conversation, she says, I know what it is. You're going to tell me that I can't go to Disney World. And she's only like 8, 9 years old. And he says, no. Says, we're going there as a family. Are you a part of this family? And she nodded her head, yes. Said, then you're going to Disney World. Said, I'll address the consequences for these other things you're doing. So as the day came that they should go to Disney World, thinking that conversation would help out for the next few days, things only spiraled worse. The young lady was doing things that were just unthinkable. Even in the trip over in the hotels and in the rest stops, she was doing things that were just so senseless. Why was she doing this? Well, they went to the first day of the Magic Kingdom, and they stayed all day. Just like, overpriced food, overpriced entrance fees and lines and all these things that the experience that you go through at Disney World, they had it. At the close of that first day, back at the hotel, she was wore out. The young lady was just exhausted. She kind of snuggled up and partially asleep, and he said, did you enjoy your day? And she snuggled up to her stuffed little unicorn that she had gotten. And almost asleep, she woke up and she looked at it and said, Daddy, you brought me here not because I was good, but because I'm yours. Not because we're good does God's grace reach to us, but because we're His. Not because what we can do or we can say or how we act or behave does God's grace reach us. God's grace reaches us because we're His. Oh, praise God for that outrageous grace. It's amazing that grace from God is a one-way street. There's nothing you can do to earn it. There's nothing you can do to buy it. It's yours. It's yours for the taking. It is a gift from God. Have you accepted the outrageous grace of God? Today we talk about, in Joshua chapter 2, a lady who received God's outrageous grace. And it's amazing the transformation that it brought to her life. Have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 2. And Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent two spies from Shechem. "Go look over the land," he said, "especially Jericho." So they went and entered the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there. The king of Jericho was told, "Look, some of the Israelites have come here tonight to spy out the land." So the king of Jericho sent his message to Rahab, "Bring out the men who came to you and entered your house, because they have come to spy out the whole land." But the woman that had taken the two men and hidden them, she said, "Yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they had come from. At dusk, they were, when the time to close the city gates, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them." But she had taken them up to the roof and hidden them under the stalks of flax, and she had laid out on the roof. So the men set out in pursuit of the spies on the road that leads to the fords of the Jordan. And as soon as the pursuers had gone out, the gate was shut. Before the spies lay down for the night, she went up to the roof and said to them, "I know that the Lord has given you this land, and that is a great, great fear of you has fallen on us, so that all who live in the country are melting in fear because of you. We have heard now the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea, for when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to Sihon and Og, the two kings of Amorites east of the Jordan, whom you completely destroyed. When we heard of it, our hearts melted in fear, and everyone's courage failed because of you. For the Lord your God is God of in heaven and above and earth below. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare the lives of my father and mother, brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and that you will save us from death. Our lives for your lives," the men assured her. If you don't tell what we are doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully. Then the Lord gives us this land. So she let them down by a rope through the window, for the house she lived in was part of the city wall. She said to them, go to the hills so the pursuers will not find you. Hide yourselves there 3 days until they return, and then go on your way. Now the men had said to her, this oath you made, a swear, will not be binding on us unless when we enter the land you have tied the scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And unless you have brought your father and your mother, brothers and your family into this house, if any of them go outside your home into the streets, their blood will be on their heads. We will not be responsible. As for those who are in the house with you, their blood will be on our head if a hand is laid on them. But if you tell them what we are doing, we will be released from this oath that you have made us swear. Agreed, she replied. Let it be as you say. So she went with them away, and they departed. And she tied the scarlet cord in the window. When they left, they went into the hills and stayed there 3 days until the pursuers had searched all the road and returned without finding them. Then the two men started back. They went down out of the hills, followed the river, and came to Joshua, son of Nun, and told him everything that had happened to them. They said to Joshua, the Lord has surely given the whole land into our hands. All the people are melting in fear because of us. Let's pray together. Father God, it's been a rough start. God, we just pray for your Holy Spirit to intervene. God, we just pray for your Holy Spirit to take your word and preach it to us. Lord, let it get deep into our hearts, deep into our minds about your amazing grace. God, I know that there are people who are listening here today, Lord, who are in attendance here this morning, who need to know your grace. God, they've been beaten down by legalism. They've been beaten down by the do's and don'ts of religion. And God, they just need to know what your grace is all about. God, that you can forgive any sin that they've ever committed. God, I pray today that your grace would reach so deeply into our souls. Transform us to be more like Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. We have number two. All right. This is new for me, using a handheld. So if I pull away a lot, it's because I'm used to preaching with my hands. So let's get the picture here. Joshua sent these two spies out across the Jordan River, out into the Promised Land, into Jericho. And they entered the streets of Jericho and into the house of Rahab. So let's begin to see some things that we read about, what God was doing in the life of Rahab during all of this process of hiding the spies. There are several truths that reveal how God's outrageous grace transformed Rahab during this providential plan. The first truth is that Rahab was targeted by God for his sovereign plan. Rahab was targeted by God for his sovereign plan. We see in verse 1, it says, then Joshua sent these two spies from the Israelite camp in Acacia Grove. He instructed them, scout out the land and go on the other side of the Jordan River, especially around Jericho. So the two men set out and came to the house of a prostitute named Rahab and stayed there tonight. Sending out these two spies to scout out the land. That's what good military people do. Now, sometimes people kind of get bent out of shape. You know, they think, well, why did these two men who were coming from God, and here Joshua is telling his crew and his army to set themselves aside and to dedicate themselves to the Lord for this battle coming up, but the two spies go to the house of a prostitute? We wonder about that, but there's a strategy to it. First of all, God sent them there. there's something we have to understand, that we have our own plans, but God directs our steps. And sometimes what we do, or what we, you know, an action that takes place, we don't really understand what's going on at the moment, but God does. Think about the strategy behind Rahab being a prostitute. There were men in and out of her house all times of the day and night. So two strange men coming into the city, going to her house, was not out of the ordinary. She was a complete, perfect cover for these two spies to stay there and see what was going on in the land, in the city. Perfect cover. The strategy behind it. Proverbs 16:9 always tells us, the mind of man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. God's arranging things in Rahab's life for him to leave her, for him to lead her where he wants her to be. God is leading Rahab away from her life of sin, and she plays an instrumental part in our salvation even today. See, with God, nothing is by coincidence. He strategically interacts, interrupts, moves around, and reaches those he is calling to salvation. God always interrupts our lives in some way. He's always interacting with our lives in some form or fashion to bring his will to us. We just have to be sensitive to it. Quit getting so bent out of shape when God interrupts our life. Well, man, I don't know why I'm sick. I don't know why I'm going through this. God interrupts your life for a reason. I remember back when I got sick with seizures. Listen, I didn't know why God had interrupted my life. I had my own plans. Man, I was going in the Marines. I was planning on doing a career in the Marine Corps. God said, well, that's not really where I want you to be. You see, God sends interruptions. And God interferes for his will to be done in our life. Think about your life. God is strategically and methodically, for a divine purpose, interrupted your life in some form or fashion. And some of you, listen, you never would have pictured yourself sitting in First Baptist Church, Ville Platte, a month ago. Or maybe even 6 months ago. Or a year ago. Some of you, you've been here for several decades, but there was a time that somebody either invited you or you heard about God doing something here, and you showed up, but you never would have pictured yourself sitting in a Baptist church. It's not the title of the church. It's what God is doing in people's lives through his son, Jesus Christ. God does not play games with souls. Listen, the Holy Spirit has been following. He was following after Rahab during that time, and he has been following after you during the weeks and months that led you here, hearing the message about Christ Jesus, hearing this message about God's amazing grace. You know, for someone today, this may be the first message of grace that you heard in a long time. Maybe the first one you've ever heard. Maybe you've been beat down by legalism and religion so much, telling you how bad you are and how messed up you are. Yeah, we all are. That's why we need God's grace. Welcome to the real world of being human. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." So we see that God pinpointed and targeted Rahab, sent the spies to her house, not just for a place of cover. That's what the spies were going there to look out, but God had a reason for Rahab. The second truth is this: Rahab demonstrated fear of God and faith in God. We see verse 8 through 11. So before the spies went to sleep that night, Rahab went up to the roof to talk to them. It says, "I know the Lord has given you this land." She's already convinced that the Lord has given them this land. Listen, we're all afraid of you. She goes on to tell them, listen, what we've heard what God did for you 40 years ago when you crossed out of Egypt in the Red Sea and you went out into the desert. We heard the armies of the Amorites that you beat over there. You defeated them completely. The people over here are scared. And I love this last part. It says, "For the Lord your God is the supreme God of the heavens above and the earth below." See, She's showing faith now. She's identifying God. Listen, you have to understand, in Jericho, this was a fortress city before it got in all the rest of the promised land. It was a fortress city. And the things that they believed in idols, and they worshiped many little small g gods and goddesses in Jericho and all this land. It was a pagan land. And for her to identify God as being the Lord, she sees him as being supreme over all. See, while the spies were at Rahab's house, someone told on them. Somebody ratted them out. Their presence was reported to the king of Jericho. So here are these spies, or minding their own business, just doing the spying. And somebody who had seen them go into Rahab's house, or John, who was there at Rahab's house, saw that these guys were acting a little peculiar, different. They weren't there for business like he was or the rest of the guys were. So they went back and reported to the king. And the king of Jericho told Rahab to send them out. We see in verse 4, she said, "Yeah, these men came to me, but I not know where they'd come from. And at dusk, when it was time to close the city gate, they left. I don't know which way they went. Go after them quickly. You may catch up with them." Now, some people now question again, you know, was God pleased with Rahab lying to the king of Jericho to protect these spies? So did God approve of this lie? No, we have to remember, Rahab was not a believer in God at that time. She was a prostitute living in a pagan land. Lying was just a way to get what you wanted. So that's all. So she had a motive in mind for lying to protect these spies. Her motive was to save her own life and the lives of her own family members. But God, through all of this, still enacted his plan for her life, and the destruction of the city. So even though Rahab and all of her mess ups and all of her lifestyle was so godless in all the things that she had done, God still chose her for a particular purpose and a reason. God still used everything about her to get his purpose for the nation of Israel. Rahab did eventually express the lordship of God and feared about what lie ahead. In verse 11 says, "For Lord your God is the God of heaven above and the earth below." Rahab didn't know much about anything about the God of Israel, but she was very much aware that he was the supreme God. Rahab heard all the testimonies about the people that God had delivered, yet she showed that elementary small faith that received God's grace. God had a plan for this lady. And listen, it took outrageous grace to reach into the life of this woman who had been living the life that she had been living and doing the things she had been doing. It took outrageous grace for God to reach her. Maybe in your own life, it takes an outrageous grace to reach you. Listen, we can sit with our finger in God's face and God's not flinching. God's not scared of us. His grace still is offered to us. Even when we snub our nose and give him the middle finger, you know what? God's grace still reaches us. Charles Spurgeon said, "If we cannot believe God when circumstances seem to be against us, we do not believe him at all." The third truth we see: Rahab's life was spared and her soul saved. We see in Joshua chapter 2, verse 12 through 14. "Now, then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I have shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign that you will spare our lives, the lives of my mother and father and brothers and sisters and all who belong to them, and that they will be saved from death." And the spies said, "Listen, our lives for your lives." The men assured her, "If you don't tell what we're doing, we will treat you kindly and faithfully." Rahab confirmed the oath with these spies to save her life and the life of her family. These two men had a condition for her request, though. So listen, you need to tie this red cord outside the window that you're letting us down from. You also, listen, do not tell anyone about us being here. And she said, and he said, listen, your family needs to stay in. We're coming to the land, and we're going to destroy it. But you need to keep your family inside your house. Anybody that goes outside, we're not held responsible for their death. You are. So both parties had agreed to this. And we see as the land of Israel will, the nation of Israel crossed over the Jordan River into the promised land, and they invaded Jericho. After the walls had crumbled down, they invaded Jericho. Rahab was spared. Joshua chapter 6, verse 22 through 25 says, Joshua said to the two men who have spied out the land, go into the prostitute's house and bring her out and all who belong to her. They brought her out, her and her entire family, and they put her in a place outside the camp of Israel. Verse 25, Joshua spared Rahab the prostitute with her family and all who belonged to her because she had hid the men Joshua had sent as spies in Jericho. And she lives among the Israelites to this day. Rahab's life was spared. And over time, she learned how to follow God. She began to learn about the Ten Commandments, and she began to learn and live as a Jewish follower of God. Listen, Rahab transformed from a harlot into a heroine. It's amazing what God's grace did in the life of this woman to transform her from the lifestyle she had lived into a person of great faith. You see, Rahab demonstrated a living faith, and it changed by a forgiving and merciful God. Like Rahab, all Christians have this scarlet cord hung in the window of our souls. We are Rahabs. We are the ones who've prostituted our souls out there to do whatever we wanted to do. And God still looked at us with grace and says, you're mine. He chased after us and pursued after us to give us a gift of grace so that we respond in faith to Jesus Christ, have all of our sins washed away, and that we're heirs of the kingdom. We are like Rahab. The fourth truth we see in our last is Rahab was chosen by God to be part of the lineage of Jesus Christ. Hey, catch this. Rahab went from a prostitute to part of Jesus' lineage. Her faith was remarkable. Matter of fact, the writer of Hebrews included her in the faith chapter. Chapter 11. With other great biblical heroes such as Abraham and Isaac and Moses and Joseph, and the Israelites who passed through the Red Sea and over the Jordan. Listen, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31 says, by faith, the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. What? You know, if you read that chapter, Joshua, who's the great leader who led the Israelites across the Jordan into the promised land, he was Moses', you know, he second in command, and he took over Moses' leadership of the, he's not even mentioned. But Rahab is in the hall of fame of faith because of what she, see how God targeted her and transformed her life. Not only did he transform her life, listen, she played a significant role in the family lineage of kings and ultimately of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 1, verse 5. That's usually the chapter that we overlook because it just says lineage and such and such begot so and so and such begot so and so. And it's like, oh, I don't care who all these names are. We should care. Because these are people of faith. Verse 5, in a genealogy of Jesus. And Nashon, the father of Salmon. And Salmon, the father of Boaz. by Rahab, and Boaz, the father of Obed, by Ruth, and Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of King David. Wait a minute. Not only did God take her out of a house of prostitution and close her business down and destroy her city and save her and her family and incorporate them into the nation of Israel, now she's playing a part. She's the great-great-grandmother of King David. You catch that? That God's outrageous grace reached into to Rahab's life. And he targeted her because he knew that he needed her to be the great-great-grandmother of King David, the man after God's own heart. And listen, 30 generations later was born the Messiah, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. This woman taken out of a city that was basically heretics, that was a cult, that was everything against God. Her lifestyle was against God. And God still chose her and saved her, brought her out of that life, put her among his people, and then put her in the lineage of people like King David and Solomon, and ultimately, yes, our Savior, Jesus Christ. That ought to get you excited. That ought to get you excited. Listen, never think for one moment that God can't use you. Never think for one moment that wherever you've been in all of your life that God can't use you. Never think for a moment that you have messed up so bad that God can't use you in an amazing way. See, it just took faith on Rahab's part. It took faith to step out and says, I believe this God. He is the Lord. Have you trusted God as your Savior today? Listen, so often the devil comes to us and tells us so many lies. He lies to us and tells us, you know, listen, look, if everybody knew what you did, man, you were in jail. Man, you were a drug addict. Man, you were an alcoholic. You used to be an abuser. You used to, and it's, you used to. You see, but praise God, Jesus Christ set me free from that. I'm free, and in Christ I'm free indeed. I'm changed. I'm transformed. I'm a new creation in him. And because of what God has done in our life, because of what the Holy Spirit living in us, transforming us, making us brand new, where is God going to take you? What great and amazing things will God be doing in your life next year or the next or the or 5 years or 10 years from now? We don't know until we just say, yes, Lord, here I am. Have you experienced God's amazing, outrageous grace? Maybe you're not a Rahab. Maybe you haven't lived that life. But listen, one sin or a million sins, as dark as it may be, we still need Jesus. And he can take us from where we are to where he wants us to be. One step at a time. Says, I can't believe that God would use me in this such and such way. How many people sat back when they first came to Jesus and never thought they'd be teaching a Sunday school class or leading a youth group or leading a children's ministry? How many people just said, or preaching, pastoring, or leading music and worshiping and playing instruments? How many missionaries around the community and around the world never thought, never visioned what God was going to do in their life? Until they, by faith, said yes to God's grace in Jesus Christ. Have you said yes to Jesus today? And let him transform your life. Your life change doesn't begin with you being a better person or acting better or doing better things. Your life change begins with Jesus first. And then let him take all the rest of it from you. Let's pray together. Father God, today, you're so good to us. God, thank you for your outrageous grace. Lord, that you love us even when we feel unlovable. Even when we've done things that hurt others and we feel unlovable. Lord, when the world treats us unkindly, God, you're still the one that comes to us with love and compassion. When we've been ostracized, we've been kicked out, we've been isolated, Lord, you're still the one who comes, says you are worthy because of my grace. I pray for us today, God. Teach us how to be your children each day. In Christ's name, amen.